actually, we repented of all the denominations.
Okay.
And because when we started studying the Word of God and testing them to it, they don't line up with the Scriptures. So okay. What we are is the called out holy ecclesia. That's what church actually means, ecclesia, called out holy ones, separate ones. So we gather with true holy called out saints all over the world. Okay. Because they're scattered. There's
we travel full time, so we're not in one place. We're full time street preachers, evangelists.
That we have to go do this
because we love our neighbor. And we want to warn you about man-made religion, about things like this.
So I have one quick question. Man-made religion, the denominations, who invented that? God or man?
Man.
That's why we avoid it.
How long have you been doing this?
Many years.
Many years.
We've been following Jesus for 15.
Oh, wow.
Born again for 15 years.
Yeah, so we're here calling people out. First, we're sharing the biblical gospel that they're not preaching in there.
Did you give her a card?
Gospel card?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Two young women came out and they said, they're not even telling us what the gospel is. And I said, well, how do you even know who you're supposed to be worshiping with? There's one God, one Savior, one truth, one Spirit.
Aren't
we supposed to all speak the same thing? And they said, yeah. I said, how are you doing that in there if you don't even know what they're preaching for a gospel? The gospel is the foundation of our faith, right? That's how we become born again and into the kingdom of God.
Yeah. I feel like I have heard the gospel shared.
The people of God don't entertain themselves in false gospels.
Like, you hear the gospel, share the gospel.
Okay, well, I did give you a gospel card. Okay. So it's on the other side.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and you seem like a seeker. We've had a lot of mockers coming up and pushing against and defending sin. So I'll take some time and I'll talk with you.
I'm curious.
Yeah, you seem like you're genuine, and I'm just saying that because sometimes it calls out people. I'm not saying you are, so I'm appreciating you. The gospel is Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. He was fully God, fully man. He died for the sins of the world, and his blood shed will wash away your sins if you repent. And that's the good news for people who repent. And that's a turning of your mind. You're living your life for yourself and the sin and the worldliness and fulfilling the lust of the flesh, and you repent of all that. And you turn your mind toward Christ. And what does that mean? It's all behind you, right? And now he's before you. When we strive after him in holiness and obedience because of the Holy Spirit he gives us, which means we're born again. So if you're a born-again child of God, you're going to have fruit that is worthy of repentance. You're going to have a lot of fruit, right?
Yeah.
The book of James says we're not justified by our faith. Our faith is justified by our works, right? So faith and works go together. Mm-hmm. Works won't save us. We can't work our way to heaven. But if we're truly born again, we're going to have a lot of fruit, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to hate sin. We're going to run away from it. We're going to run to Christ. And then we're going to keep doing that until the day we die. Because if we turn away, we're lost.
Right.
But if we keep doing that until the end, we hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Mm-hmm. That's what we would hope for. They're not preaching that. They're not preaching repentance. And if they are, and the man-made religious systems out there, we stand out against them too. They may say it, and some of them have a somewhat biblical gospel, but their lives are worldly and carnal. They love the Packers. They're painting themselves up like cheeseheads. They're watching TV, worldly, carnal sports. Women aren't being women. Men aren't being men. They're fulfilling the lust of the flesh. This music is fleshly. You can't please God in the flesh. There's a lot of sins, and I listed these on Life Fest just as a generalization of a few of the sins, so maybe it will prick the conscience of some people. Because do you see the fruit of godly, holy people here?
I feel like I've seen examples from people, based on kindness, based on grace shown, based on patience, from a variety of people when I walk inside the festival.
But you know what? Even the unbelievers are like that.
So then how are we to identify
judge
the
fruit?
Difference?
Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we judge the fruit of a godly, holy saint that doesn't go into places like this and participate in it. They're called out, they're separate, they're holy. If they're born again of the Holy Spirit on the inside, everything in their life changes. And it becomes an example and shining light of holiness, godliness, right? Okay, are you born again?
Yes.
Okay, because you were nodding when I was going through the gospel, so I assumed you were. So you're my sister in Christ, or you would claim to be, right?
Yes.
I'm born again for 15 years. I was a worldly, carnal, harlot-looking, partying, drunk driving, all kinds of things. To tell you the truth, this music in here sounds like the stuff I used to dance to at the bar. Mm-hmm. It's wicked. It's fleshly. And when you become born again, your insides change, right? Your desires change. You hate all sin. You want to be a godly, holy woman, right? The Bible teaches us there's some fundamental things that you don't know. Can I help you?
Yeah, I have a question, though.
Well, let me finish this one first.
With that, okay.
Yeah. So if you're born again, where is the Holy Spirit?
Within me.
And you are now the temple, right?
Right.
Temple of the Holy Spirit. Who gets to determine what that temple does and looks like and acts like, right? So in the New Testament, when we're born again and our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, God teaches us how to dress it, mm-hmm. how it should act, how it should talk, right? I say it, how we, you know? I mean, I'm kind of talking about the temple. So a godly woman in 1 Corinthians 11 is to cover her head.
The judgment of God
and
is
cover her body,
1
Timothy
2
and
1
Peter 3. Mm-hmm. It's actually long, loose, unadorned robes and dresses in the Greek, if you study that. And she's shamefaced, and she's quiet, and she submits to the authority of men. You can see I can preach the gospel, I can share so much. I can't teach him, and I can't teach the brothers, and I can't be a pastor. That's about it. So we follow that headship order. So those are things that you don't know that I'm sharing with you. You need to go look those up.
Well, I do,
I don't
actually.
See that in
I've
here.
I've heard that. Okay, that brings up another question. But you
uh-huh.
Go, yeah.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Well, two. One is, what about when it talks about, though, I think it's in Corinthians where it talks about, like, for one person to do this is sin, for another it's not. And
oh,
so,
Romans 14?
Oh, is it Romans? Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, how do you... Because for there are things that like the Gentiles were doing that the Jewish people were
so you, you hit on it.
Time. Yeah.
This is about food and holidays that God had them do something with, right? God ordained festivals. God ordained, I said holidays, kind of like festivals, yeah. Holidays, what we would call it today, and specific food. That's what it's referring to. Not carnal.
Not against me. He who is for me is not against me, no matter what the form.
Ma'am, you need to repent, come out of the world. I'd be happy to help you in that. God doesn't hear the prayers of sinners, ma'am. Everybody thinks God is love. You know how you get that love? Through Christ, being born again in him. If you're not born again, you don't get the love of God. God hates the wicked. Psalm 5:5. Everybody thinks God is love. God is love. They don't realize wrath is waiting on the other side. Yeah. Yeah. So I forgot what we were talking about before she came by.
So you were saying that in Romans it talks about it's talking about a specific thing, food of festivals.
What was godly and ordained then? Not today. This worldly and carnal festivals. People use that for Christmas. You know, Christmas is pagan.
Yeah.
There was no Christmas back then. Yeah. It's pagan. There's so many different lies about it. Let me share this with you. Revelation 22, 14, and 15 says, if you love and practice one lie, you know who's going
to
be left outside the gates of heaven? Those who love and practice that. And that would be like Christmas is one. Easter's another. Not teaching women how to dress and act biblically. Worldly, carnal, fleshly entertainment and music. Mm-hmm. Idleness. Laziness. You know, it's not just abortion and homosexuality out there like some Christians like to target. It's all kinds of gluttony. You know what I'm saying? There's all kinds of sins. Swearing. A foul mouth. A proud look. A haughty walk. You know?
Yeah.
There's so many things that are going to leave you outside the gates of heaven if you love and practice it and don't repent of it.
What verse was that?
Revelation 22, 14, and 15. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I think it's in Revelation 21. Also, I've been talking to so many people. Revelation 22, 14, and 15. I'm pretty sure what it is. So anyway, and I'm making an audio, and I'm going to use this, and nobody's going to know it's you, but it's edification for the sisters and stuff. So.
I have another question. Because
you find eternal life as you unite to that which is
how is what you're doing similar,
God?
Like, or... Is there another way to do what you're doing that does reach more people? For instance, if Jesus was here, right, and he would be sitting with the sinners, or he would be...
Oh, no, wait.
No?
He didn't just sit with sinners in their sin. He called them out.
No, yes, but... Correct, but he was also, like, sitting down with them and eating with them. And
that would only be for those who wanted to repent and follow after Christ. These people don't even want to sit with us. One guy threatened him. We've been spit on. People flipping us off. They don't want to sit with us and talk about the things of God. I'm sitting here with you, kind of. We're talking, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're not eating, but we would if you wanted to sit and talk for a long time, we would. I would have no problem breaking bread with you and talking to you because you want to talk about it, as long as you're not going to defend sin and hold on to your sins, and you're willing to follow the truth. See, the people who called Jesus a friend of sinners, you know who those were? They also called him a wine bibber. Yeah. So people like, and I'm not calling you out on that. I'm just saying people have been trained. Jesus sat with sinners, those who wanted to repent and come out. You know what he would say if he was here? The first words he said, you know what he would say? Repent. Right? Is that not one of the first words? He'd be calling everybody to repent here. He'd call them out of their sins. You know how Jesus loved the rich man? I love this. You know how he loved him? The rich man came to Jesus and he said, how do I turn inherit eternal life? You know what Jesus said? Do this, 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 and this. And he goes, I've done that from my youth. And Jesus said, sell what you have and come follow me. The one thing, it says, Jesus loved him. And then he told him what his sin was. Didn't he?
It's of a fleshly false.
The man loved his
idol,
his stuff. He idolized his stuff. That's how we love people. We love people by telling them what their sin is so they can repent. The Hebrews 4:12 sword slices to the bone and the marrow so you can see what your sin is. I want to slice you open so you can see your sin and go, wow, I didn't even know that was sin. I'm dishonoring a holy God. I want to repent. I want to get my life in line with the Lord. That's what we do. You show people their sins so they can repent. If you're in sin and I don't tell you and you die and go to hell, did I love you?
Says there is mentors. It's on my testing.
Do you think I can use the same type of thing, though,
Jesus
when I'm in there and possibly
in these false ways?
No, because you're being disobedient then. You're supposed to forsake all wicked ways, right? A little leaven's the whole bunch. There's a whole bunch of sins in there. We're supposed to mark and avoid people who claim Christ and live in sin. 1 Thess 3. The lazy guy, you're not even supposed to do
that.
If he doesn't follow and he doesn't work, we're not supposed to eat with him. We're to call out our brother and sister in Christ and separate from them if they don't repent from their sins. We'll sit and teach somebody. If we have a brother or sister and all of a sudden a sin comes up, we're going to sit with them, we're going to work with them, and we're going to help them and plead with them to repent and give them some time to think about it. If they don't repent, we have to put them out of the body. Otherwise, I'm in sin. And now that would be for the destruction of their flesh. Hopefully they would repent and come back in, like 1 Corinthians 5, the man sleeping with his stepmom. They put him out of the body. He later repented. But if we love people and accept them in their sin, we're partakers of their sin. We're allowing it. To him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it's sin, right? So the Bible says we're supposed to go out and call out the sins of the world and help people to see, to preach the gospel. That's how you're born again. And then you follow after in holiness and obedience. So going in there, unless you're standing up on the stage or standing there telling everybody, come out, you must repent, and showing them their sins. If you're sitting with them and singing with them and participating in all that sin, you're with them. You're proving of it. And you're going to be judged right along with them. It's not just a matter of your heart. It's your fruit and your works.
The Bible talks about corrupt associations. You wouldn't let your children hang out with drug dealers. They're just my friends.
Yeah.
They could lead you into sin.
No, I have to think about it. It does seem unloving to me.
But what does the word say? Remember what I said, Jesus' first word was?
Wait, can I ask a question? What's the love of God, according to the Bible? Just we feel and have emotion, just love him.
We did kind of touch on
that,
yeah.
No, it means keep my commandments.
Yeah.
You know what? Let me tell you something really interesting. In the book of Acts, the most evangelistic book in the whole Bible. Mm-hmm. I love to teach this.
I like Acts.
All right. Most evangelistic book in the whole Bible.
Yeah.
Guess how many times it uses the word love?
I don't know. None.
You know what the call is? Repent and obey.
That's
Does
what
that
we're
sound loving
about.
To you? That is loving. If you're headed off an icy bridge, I don't say, here's some cookies and donuts and may you go on your way in peace. You go, wow, that guy was so loving and his wife is so nice. And you let you drive off the bridge. I go, don't drive, neighbor. We love you. Yeah. Turn and repent. Well, that's loving. So adjust what you think is loving.
But it just, I guess.
Use the scriptures, though.
I know.
Go with what the scriptures say. We can't use feelings and flesh and what we think. Because
right.
You know what? The worldly churches are filled with people who are trying to bring more people in with all this sin. Now, God could use this and convict somebody, but they're going to come out. They're not going to stay in there. They're going to see the sin and be horrified and go live a holy, godly life for him. And we talked about the Hebrews 4:12 sword. That's love. Showing somebody their sin and helping them repent and come out of it.
So what is your stance then for me if I'm someone that will, after this conversation, go in there? And what I believe is, maybe wrestle with it, but...
That would be awesome. If you go in there, and they're going to sit there and go, oh, she's lost. What I'm going to say, is I hope those seeds that you and I shared, that I shared the truth with you, that you go in there and you go, oh, I guess I didn't see that.
Yep.
I got to look into that. All right, I guess I didn't know that was there either. You know, all these things we already went through.
I have a question for you. What did Jesus say? How do we judge a tree? By just
fruit. Yeah, we talked about fruit.
So the fruit of the worldly people, the worldly church, the false gospel, the selling of music, making themselves, I call Toby Mac a music whore, because he is. He's selling music to make himself a millionaire. When Jesus made a whip, when men were making pennies on doves.
But even that sounds...
rash.
That sounds unkind.
How about John the Baptist when the Pharisees came up to him and he said, hey guys, let's have coffee and cookies together. Did he say that? He said, who told you snakes and vipers to flee from the wrath of God? How about Jesus when he called the Pharisees hypocrite, hypocrite, hypocrite,
yeah,
8 times in Matthew 23? Was that lovey?
Yeah, no, he's much harsher than I think we not hard,
but they have a feminized Jesus today. Yeah. Go read the book of Matthew.
A lot of people think he just sat down and
read the book of Matthew from the first chapter to the last one day.
Yep.
And look for Jesus, his real nature.
Yeah.
He's loving, he's truthful, he's harsh, and he's cutting. Do you have children?
People make him out to be.
Do you have children?
No, I don't.
When you have children, if they go run out in the street and they're playing with razor blades and they're poking knives at each other and they do it belligerently over and over, are you going to go, children, here's some cookies and ice cream.
No.
I hope you don't do that anymore. You're going to go, children, stop that. I'm scolding you right now. You're punished because you're trying to. Is that mean or is that loving?
How much more for a father to his children?
Okay, then,
because you're in the flesh.
But I think part of the that turns people off or even me off from the start of it is it seems like you're speaking with such a... authority that
just like
who's speaking with authority?
You.
But isn't that what they said about Jesus?
Yep.
They said he speaks with such authority.
But if you're not in the truth of God,
I guess,
and you want the truth,
maybe help me.
Okay, Paul says imitate. Did Paul speak with authority?
Yeah.
Paul says imitate me as I imitate Christ.
Yeah.
So we speak with authority. Did you know that Proverbs says the righteous are as bold as lions? Or are they timid like sheep? Which one?
Bold
as lions.
So you're deceived by the wrong kind of teaching, the wrong kind of proclamation of the gospel.
Can I share something real quick?
Itchy ear gospel.
Three men today heard the proclamation, the bold gospel. My wife talked to a couple of them, and three men said, I got to think about this. They turned around and they left to go study their Bibles. Three men. If I would buy them cookies and candies and say, let's go inside here and just hang around, you think it's going to have that effect? You may be a sheep because you're listening. Most of these people are not the sheep of God. They're the goats that are going to suffer the wrath of God. Jesus said a puny few will inherit the kingdom of God. If you go in there, here's what I want you to think about. Look around at the thousands. Realize a puny few are going to enter the kingdom of God.
But then, so that's how you're saying it, not that it's,
I don't want to say anything wrong,
but it doesn't sound compassionate. Like, it doesn't sound like you have compassion
for the
people.
In the flesh. You need
compassion is preaching the gospel
spirit
to call you to salvation, ma'am.
But they are not that different from where you were, what, 15 years ago?
Well, they need repentance.
They're lost. We were lost.
They're going to lost and be
but
lost
I'm just saying it doesn't.
Like,
they're lost. If you live outside of the gospel, you're going to die and go to hell. You're saying that's not compassion. God's not compassionate. God's righteous.
Uh-huh.
If you live in any willful sin, you're going to go to hell.
It does say he's compassionate, though.
What's that?
He is because he sent Christ to die for our sins. And if we repent and we follow after him and obey, to give us the Holy Spirit to do it, we need to obey.
Let me ask you a question. Do you ever go to court?
That's loving God.
A righteous judge, if you did a bunch of crimes
and
you go before a righteous judge, then he's about to sentence you.
Mm-hmm.
A righteous judge, a human judge. And he said, what's your first name?
Amanda.
He says, Amanda, you did this, 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 and we got you on video doing it all.
Mm-hmm.
What say you for yourself? And you go, you got two choices, Amanda. You can go, whatever, judge, we all break laws. My friends break them all the time, and I just got caught. What's the big deal? What do you think that judge is going to say to you when it comes to sentencing? Is he going to go, is she contrite and sorry? Or you could say, Your Honor, please, I didn't know what I was doing. I had a bad day that day. I don't. Please give me mercy and grace. I'll do better. I won't break laws anymore. The judge is going to go, you have a repentive heart. Probation. And if I don't see you again in my court in a year, I'll wipe that off your record. That's where you get compassion. If you live in sin and you live in willful disobedience, God says you get my wrath.
Right.
Separate the two, ma'am. Separate the two. It's very important.
So what do you guys do? Do you do any like service, or is this like your main thing? Is you're going to stand
preaching the gospel?
Right, but you can do
we
when you're serving.
We do. We minister
That's
to
what
the
I'm
homeless
wondering.
People. We sleep in Walmart parking lots.
Yeah, we're out in the world every day. We have a camper van.
Yeah, we minister to anybody from the homeless, the drug addict in the ditch who receive the gospel way better than the religious people. They thank us for it. They admit they're sinners. The religious people get mad at us. And we got God. All the way up to the rich guy in the billionaire motorhome. So we minister to everybody. And if somebody has a need, we'll fill it. But we don't do the social gospel where we run around and do a whole bunch of good works and not share the gospel.
Right.
Because the gospel is what's going
to save. What good if I feed a guy that's homeless, I don't tell him to repent and follow Jesus, he dies and goes to hell? You mentioned services. Religious services like showing up, singing, praying. Biblical saints can gather. If you were our true sister and we gathered, we can go to the Word, we can pray, we can sing, we can gather. But we don't do like ritual gatherings.
No,
that
I'm
becomes
serving,
your whole life.
I'm in serving. Yeah, I'm in serving.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, we serve hungry people.
Yeah.
Guess what?
That's what I was
ready?
Right.
We're serving you right now. We're serving you the biblical
truth.
Gospel. If we weren't standing here, you wouldn't be hearing these truths. You'd be swept away by this sin and worldliness and this wickedness. Those young men that hurt us, we serve them. So we serve God. We serve brothers and sisters. We serve other Christians that are claiming Christ. We serve the lost world. We're servants purely. We've lost our life to do this. This is all we do.
Right. That's why we stand out here in the sun all day and all night to try to reach a soul to get you to stop and think and go deeper.
You know, repent, folks. This is false Christianity. Turn from your sin and seek the kingdom of God.
Spiritual influence to you. Take a break from all that. Get in the scriptures and go to the Lord. And what you're going to see is the truth. And you're going to see all the lies in there. But the longer you stay in it and you're buried in it, you're not going
to
see.
Yeah, cry out to God.
In your flesh.
That's what I recommend to people. Cry out to God and say, get away from, do you belong to a church system?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which, can I ask what the flavor?
Currently I'm at Alliance. Appleton Alliance.
It's like a non-denominational type of evangelical
they're
church.
Yeah, technically an alliance.
Christmas,
but,
right?
Yeah.
Let me guess. Christmas, Easter, Sunday ritual gatherings.
Those are all pagan holidays.
They don't teach you how to biblically dress. The women don't cover their heads. We covered all that. So that's false Christianity. That's invented by man. Mm-hmm. I would encourage you to take a break from that and say, I'm going to go in the scriptures and test what these people told us in the Word of God. And if you cry out to God and say, Holy Spirit, show me truth, you will never go back. You'll become a godly saint. You already know people that would help you and encourage you. And you become part of the ecclesia of the called out ones rather than a false churchianity group. That's who's supporting this place.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is carnality. Roman Catholic Mass is going on here. Mm-hmm. Bob Lentz is in with the Roman Catholic. That's a total pagan system. They're teaching yoga here, ma'am. That's a new age occult way. This is all flesh and carnality. You don't serve God like this anymore. You know how you serve God? Obedience, holiness, and follow Him.
Right.
Two questions. One is, what Bible translation do you use?
We use the King James, but we don't stand on that alone. New Kings is okay, but we go to the Greek and the Hebrew.
Yeah.
Give her an example. Give her an example.
It says that women are to wear modest apparel.
Yes.
You know that. Okay.
Yeah.
So what's modest? It's not what you see
today.
It's not what you see today. You know what
today
modest,
I would be modest.
Exactly.
Modest
you would.
Material is neat and orderly robes or dresses.
Mm-hmm.
Unadorned. That's what I do. And then we talked about 1 Corinthians 11. The head covering, people don't go into the depths of that. The Greek on that is two different words for covering, an external covering, and her hair is a covering. Because people say, oh, her long hair is a covering. We have lots of teaching articles on that. Look at the word church. They make it.
Can I go back to covering for a second? You can ask, are you married?
No.
Okay. You could ask your pastors or anything, and if they were honest, they would tell you. Say, hey, these people were teaching about head coverings. And they'd go, yeah, we don't do that anymore. How long did the known Christian church do it before it stopped doing it? And if he was honest, about 1900 years, everybody, even the heroes of the faith, Spurgeon, Edwards, Calvin, Luther, who I think were false teachers in many areas, they all taught women to cover their heads. Guess what rose up? Feminism. Mm-hmm. Feminism rose up and is destroying the culture. Abortion is at the root of feminism. Divorce at the root of feminism. Homosexuality is really at the root of feminism. Transgenderism. And I've been teaching people, you look back in the cultures, they worship pagan goddesses. And the pagan goddesses have men cut themselves off and change their sex to worship a false god. This transgenderism is false and not of God. And it's infiltrating these places through contemporary Christian music. The people, Toby Mack unites to people that promote LGBT. What do you think of that? Do you think being a lesbian or a sodomite is of God or against God? Toby Mack supports people that do that.
Right, and can I share something? That's an abomination, right?
Yep.
Is it God? You know what else is? The proud look. Pride. Is it abomination?
Proverbs 6.
I saw a whole bunch of pride going in.
Oh,
here.
Yeah.
Lots of pride.
Did you see? Did you see? I was preaching. I don't know if you guys were standing here, and I was talking to a young man over there, and I was just going through all these doctrines, and I just got to the doctrines. He asked me. He said, "How should a man dress?" And I said, "I believe we should wear what God put us in: loose, unadorned clothing. So this is sin covering. Clothes is sin covering that God put on our body." Mm-hmm. A young woman was walking by, dressed in a tight dress. And she's going in there supposedly to worship God, right? This happened a whole bunch of times in the tourist street we were at this weekend. It's happening more and more. She's maybe 20. She's dressed very lascivious. She heard me talking about biblical godly dress. And you know what she did? She walked by and she's slinking her body and putting her butt out and doing this. She's going to go in there and worship God. And she was just mocking, showing her body off and waving it in front of men. Does that sound godly to you? It's false Christianity, man. You got to see that and come out of it.
Right. So two questions. And they kind of go together because I feel like I'm asking you so many questions.
Okay.
And by the way, you can email us anytime.
Chan, he's a heretic.
Oh, yeah.
So I figured you were going to say.
Yep. He doesn't even teach all of this.
Ready?
We've been teaching you.
Francis Chan, Roman Catholic linked. He's sitting down and is with the Pope. Mike Bickle from International House of Prayer, which is mysticism and New Ageism. He sits down with them. Francis Chan has deconstructed from the church system, which is good, but he deconstructed to the point where he's now almost a universalist. He's got a very weak, corrupt gospel. He's not a godly man. He's an unbiblical, sinful man. He's a heretic, absolutely.
So is there anyone that you see that is like, yes, they've got it right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Ready? Absolutely.
Okay.
Jesus Christ, Paul, Peter, John the Baptist, James.
Yeah,
you got it.
We follow, yeah, and you know, where to follow and example them, so when people come behind in our lives, they can see the example of what we saw.
But then, how? Okay, so you're saying there's nobody since then.